It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoors Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Camp Denny's on oysters, about however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
The reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Thursday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman. Producing the outdoor show this morning is Jace, and our sponsors today, Allied Industrial Sales, the Belleville Meat Market, Angler U, Boyd's One Stop, and the Texas Insider Fishing Report. All right, looking at weather. It's raining down on the island this morning, kind of pretty much anywhere on the coast. You got a little rain this morning. 78 degrees. And rain with winds out of the northeast. And looking at today, 100% is what they're calling for. Windy with thunderstorms and northeast winds 20 to 30. It's almost like a tropical storm, basically. A light one, a little one. That rain chance is 100%. 2 to 3 inches of rain could be expected along the island this morning. Looking at tonight, rain showers early with scattered thunderstorms arriving overnight. And winds will be north-northeast, 15 to 25, about a 50% chance of rain tonight. And then tomorrow, it backs off a little, about a 60% chance with north-northeast winds 20 to 30 miles per hour. And a front coming this weekend, so cooler temperatures next week. It's going to feel good. Can't wait. Looking forward to it. Now, anyway, tides for today. These are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have three of them. You have a high at 6:23 a.m. this morning. That's a 1.4. Then a low at 12:21 p.m. It's an 0.8. And a high at 6:44 p.m., a 1.3. 6:59 a.m. is sunrise. 7:36 p.m. is sunset. And our moon phase, 2%. Right now, current conditions, looks like it's northeast at about 25 at the North Jetty. Down at San Luis Pass, 21. Up in the top end of the complex, Morgan's Point, it's northeast at 14, so a little gusty. Just depends on, it's pretty cool to look at the map on the wind currents, all the different directions they're blowing up and down the coast and out in the middle of the Gulf. Pretty strange. But it is, it is fall, or approaching fall, and it is hurricane season, so we get weird weather patterns like this. Fishing's still good. That's all that matters. All right, let's head over to the Golden Triangle area. Let's check in with Captain Bill Watkins this morning, see what he's doing in the rain. Bill, good morning.
Hey, buddy. What's going on with you?
Man, not a lot. Just going through the motions, brother.
Going through the motions, yeah. Well, I'm curious about what's going on over here. All of a sudden, I was catching, somewhere around 60, 80 trout a day, and lots of keepers in there, lots of small fish too, you know, just go through a lot of fish. But all of a sudden now, I fished this past Sunday, and I think we caught 40 trout at least. And had two keepers. Now, that's strange. And, I mean, the ladyfish are there. The bait's still there. And lots of little trout. But no good trout. So what happened? Where did they go?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. Which way did it go?
Yeah, well, they had to go north, I think.
I would probably guesstimate that, yep.
Man, I'm telling you, that was just crazy. I kept thinking, you know, I kept moving, bobbing and weaving and hit spots.
You know, that kind of happened over here a couple of weeks ago. You know, you had a good stretch of everybody catching good, you know, just solid keeper fish, few oversized. And then all of a sudden, these same areas, they still had a few keeper fish in them, but all these pencils showed up from everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, all these undersized fish. And it just shows you that we've got more of them than anything else. And those better quality fish, I'm sure they move somewhere. You know, they got on a school of bait, or, you know, they just, maybe they're getting ready for the next full moon for the spawn or what have you. And plus, you know, we're getting close to that old transition period we go through every year in September.
Yeah.
You know, we're where's the beef? You know, what happened?
Well, all of a sudden, in the fall,
they
go
there on every street corner. They're biting everywhere,
yeah.
You know.
Well, the water's definitely salting up over here. The rivers, both rivers have dropped out. And
they're draining Livingston right now. It's about 2 feet below pool. They got another foot to go so they can do some dam repair. You know, repair to the dam. So that's sending me more fresh water that I didn't want.
They were draining Rayburn, but they stopped.
Yeah, and they probably got it. I don't think they got it as low as they wanted. They were supposed to get it 7 feet below pool or something.
It's 2 inches over, or 2 inches below.
Yeah.
but both rivers dropped out, and saltwater started moving up, and those fish reacted, and the better trout have gone somewhere. So I'm not sure. Now we've got this weather moving in. It's going to be northeast for days. So I might have to pick my stuff up and move all the way up to the northeast corner of the lake and see what's up there.
Well, we're going to have a northeast wind for, it looks like 6 or 8 days. You know,
that's
with this
what
tropical
I'm
stuff, it's all over us. We're pulling it, and then that front, we're going to pull it, you know, when the front clears.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rayburn's about an inch below pool, and it's still falling. It's showing a drop. That's as of yesterday morning. So, back in June, it was 8 feet above pool.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? And
a lot of water,
I mean, up here at my house and nearby, or, you know, the river was all over the roads, and people were having to use boats to get to their houses down on the river. And
man,
all of a sudden, that water just dropped off the roads. I mean, it just dropped. And it's been up forever, all year long, seems like. And I'm sure the people are happy about that. You know, there's a lot of people live down on the river on houses on poles and this, that. And they'd have to actually, you know, get in their boat and go down the road and go to their house. Some of their houses were up on dry ground, but they had to use, you know.
Had to use boat to get park to them.
Yeah. And I'm sure they were tickled pink about that. But, you know, it's, so now this transition is going, it's happening right now. And I've been two different times. I've made an afternoon run and same thing. You know, lots and lots of little trout.
I'm enjoying this cooler weather with all this cloud cover.
Oh, yeah. It's been nice. I got on some redfish on the shoreline. You know, they've moved up on the shorelines. And caught several of those. Not what I was looking for. But, you know, nice to know they're there.
Yeah.
And I was casting on a point on the ship channel and standing up on the bow, which is somewhere I usually don't fish, you know.
Right.
Up there right on top of the trolling motor casting, and I reeled in that K Wiggler 4-inch ball tail, and just about the time I broke it off the surface of the water, this redfish that had to weigh 45 or 50 pounds.
Oh, Lord.
Come straight at me. Come up out of the deep and grab that lure and turn his head and snap that line just like.
I mean, that was too close to the rod tip, man. No stretch. That, something
that scared me.
That's a lot. I bet it scared the heck out of you.
Oh, it was humongous. And I'm sitting up there, and it's real quiet on that point. Nothing going on. Wind was down, and you know, just not even any fish breaking or anything. And this monster, something like that always startles you. You know, and he broke surface, and I mean, it was almost like he made a noise, like he was roaring. That son of a gun come up there and got that.
He was a bull because he was growling.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I tell you, man.
That, you know, something like that. I had a shark do that one time. Come right up to the trolling
motor. That's what always startles me. You like when you're fixing to net somebody's fish and a big old giant shark just blows up right next to the boat, throws water everywhere, all over everybody, and just. And you're looking around like, did y'all see that? No, but we heard it.
Yeah. Boy, I'm telling you. You know, and that, I had one come up, not a 7 or 8 foot shark, a big shark. And it come right up, and I had two redfish on a tandem rig. And they were both about 24 inches long. And they're pulling against each other. You know how they'll do. You catch them on a tandem rig. And I was struggling anyway. And that shark come right up to the trolling motor and grabbed one of those redfish right in the middle and snapped him off. And I had 20-pound leader. And it snapped off that one side of that leader and just and threw water all over me. At that time, I screamed like a girl. I mean, that out of nowhere you see a shark that size just come up in the air and grab your fish, and you know he was half out of the water and back down in there and threw water all over me. Shoot, don't tell me fishing's not exciting around here.
They'll wake you up. Pretty good stuff.
Huh.
Let me do this break, Bill. I'll be right back. Hold that thought.
Okay,
I'll be
buddy.
Right back with you. All right. Well, if you're looking for the ultimate outdoor adventure, welcome to Rusty Hook Ranch. That's a premier hunting and fishing destination in Matagorda, Texas. Whether you're after waterfowl, quail, thermal hog hunts, alligator hunts, and top-tier Matagorda Bay fishing charters, bring your friends, family, and clients, and enjoy 5-star lodging. Skeet shooting, sporting clays, and a fully stocked bass pond. And Rusty Hook Lodge can accommodate large groups for team building, weddings, and family reunions. So why wait? Experience the best at Rusty Hook Ranch. Book your adventure today, RustyHookRanch.com. That's RustyHookRanch.com. And please tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right. 418 here in the Bayou City. All right, Bill, we're back, my friend.
All right, buddy. I'm here with you.
Well.
But I did, I tried top waters and several other things, you know, to be sure I wasn't missing anything, but there really wasn't any surface activity. And I think all of my better fish just packed up and left. And it's, I caught several, you know, that afternoon. I caught several fish, but and a lot of little ones, but I just couldn't find what I was looking for. So I'm going to move. I'm going to pick up and move. And I think the next place they'll show up is in the lake. Working under the birds. And the shrimp hadn't started coming out yet. So that hasn't happened. So we're in that weird transition period over here where it's the fish is moving north.
Yeah, the bad thing about the early in the year birds, the first ones of fish are usually real small under them, especially in warming trends. It gets colder, they'll get better. The fish will get better, but well, it's to be seen. We'll just have to, it's a wait and see deal. We'll have to see how it transpires.
It's a funny thing. You know, the ladyfish are still where they were. The bait is still where it's at.
Right.
Everything is right where they were. But the better fish are gone, for the most part. I mean, I'm, you know, scratching out a few.
They may be transitioning shallow. They may be starting to, you know, think about making that shallow move. Like they do in the fall.
Yep.
You know, preparing for fall. Because that's usually how we start out catching our better fish in the fall if we're catching them skinny, you know.
Yeah.
Start hitting the shorelines.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I did. I checked a few spots in the ship channel and then I hit the lake. Went up, up, and kept going, covered about, 8 miles of shoreline. You know, by myself, so I can focus and try to figure out everything. And I caught, you know, small trout everywhere I went, but only a few. The further up I got, the less trout were and more redfish.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured, okay, I've got that transition zone figured out, but I think those fish are still way out in the lake.
Yeah, they're probably in limbo between deep and shallow somewhere out there where they're hard to find. You know,
I think that's what it is.
Unless they're slipping, or you know, it's hard to find them. Just stop out. That's needling the haystack fishing there, just stopping out in the middle of nowhere and just start cutting drifts to hope you drift into something. I hate fishing like that.
I do too.
I hate that, man. If I got a structure to target, or I got bait fish or slicks or something that shows me they're there, fine. But just that blind Nello fishing, man, I hate that.
Yeah. that is not my thing. I don't have the patience for it. I've got to have a reef or something, a hard shell pad, a shoreline,
some kind of structure or some kind of signs just to give you some hope. You know you're not wasting your time.
But there were too many good fish, good solid fish, and I know they didn't all get caught because there really wasn't anybody fishing where I was fishing.
Well, and with the limits of where they are now, you ain't going to catch them up.
No, that's true.
You know, when you mentioned tandem rigs a while ago, that brought back some memories. You know, way back in the day, we would do that, you know, because there weren't limits, and we'd put double rigs on everybody. But we had to use, like, 50-pound leader to keep those fish from busting the leader in two, you know, apart, pulling against each other. You know, fish were so big then, and you didn't have a chance with anything smaller. And a lot of times you got, you know, two big trout on or two big reds on with it, they still busted it.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we'd use ugly sticks with a big ambassador on there and 20-pound line and two-quarter-ounce heads and just sling them out there and just you'd hook one and you'd slow it down. You'd feel the other one get on there, set the hook, and reel them both in, flip them in, shake them off, and go get two more.
Well, that was something, wasn't it?
That was crazy times, man.
Yeah, it was. And, I mean, there was a lot.
It was just meat haul fishing. It wasn't even... There wasn't any art to it like there is now. You know, you got to be somewhat accomplished to catch fish now, you know. I'd like to get spoiled again one more time, wouldn't you?
I would.
Five-pound trout at one time on tandems? That's nasty.
I'd have to upgrade my tackle.
Well, yeah, we were using ugly sticks because you didn't snap them. You couldn't use a graphite rod doing that, not flipping.
No,
net them all, but.
You know, the fine quality rods. I mean, and every once in a while, we'd hit schools out there in the middle of Sabine Lake that would be, you know, 3 to 5 6-pounders.
Sure.
And, man, good grief. It was kind of like hauling tuna over the side. You know, those old pictures of using the broomsticks and catching those tuna and jerking them over the side of the boat.
Right.
Little black and white stuff. Yeah, that was that's what it was like. But
boy, on your boat, just a gut wagon when you'd get in, man. Slime, blood, guts everywhere. It was nasty.
Yeah. No limits.
Nope.
Golly,
yeah, we still did it when they went to 20. And, but... I mean, we made more money selling our catch than we did taking people fishing.
Yeah, I used to do that, too. If back when I first started work, it was like the early 70s. I tried to buy a commercial license, and they wouldn't even sell me one. Said, "Have you got a regular job, a 40-hour week job?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, you can't buy that license." I said, "Are you trying to restrict me from trying to be ambitious and make money?" He said, "That's exactly what I'm telling you. Get out of the office."
See, I had a commercial license, but it, you know, they'd ask me anything like that.
They run me out of the Parks Wildlife office. I mean, I was arguing all the way, and they run me out.
Huh.
Big old gray-headed game warden. Yeah, he just, I don't even know what his name was. And I was a young man then, and I argued with him. "No, you can't buy the license." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because you have a 40-hour week job." That just made me upset.
Jimmy Rude, this guy that listens to the show, he texts me all the time, and I saw this online yesterday where the Louisiana charter captains and guides, you know, with the Coast Guard and everything, they're talking about the, making the guides on Toledo Bend and some of these lakes in Louisiana get a OUPV.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I don't know, man.
That ought to go over like a Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, more government intrusion.
That's exactly what that is.
That's all it is, man.
It's not necessary on
more taxes.
Know, inshore waters. Yeah, that's all it's about. And that would mean then Louisiana would have an excuse to charge the freshwater guys to come over to Louisiana. And they could. Oh, man, I see where that could go in all kind of bad directions.
Yeah. Yeah, Texas could adopt that and do it to our lakes and everything. Just not.
Oh, no.
Man, I'm glad I'm on the backside, the downside.
That's just wrong in every kind of way.
It is, but it, you know.
I mean, we're down here where the ships and the tugboats and stuff are, and I can see.
Yeah,
sort of a necessity for doing what,
especially
we're
you know
to
through
do.
The rules of the road procedure and all of that, where you have to practice those measures here in navigable waters where we're at. But come on a lake.
Oh my!
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah. Oh,
but
wow.
A guy can go down and buy a boat and don't know anything about boater safety, nothing. And put it in the water and run out there and kill himself in it. Nobody says nothing. You know, no experience.
70-80 miles an hour. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that bothers me. But you know, I guess you've got the freedom to do what you want to do. But man, you need to be careful. We all learned how to run boats early on. And we made mistakes in small boats that weren't so fast. And now you can go buy a $100,000 bass boat and put it in the water and impale yourself on a stump right out of the box, knock the lower unit off, knock the motor off, put a hole in the boat, throw yourself out of the boat. All kinds of bad things can happen.
Yes.
And it's happening at speeds that we would have not believed when we were young.
No.
Oh, wow.
I had a text from a listener who wants to know what an OUPV is. That's an operator of an uninspected passenger vessel. That's for six passengers for hire or less.
Yep. That's what that means.
OUPV.
Or what a lot of people call captain's license. It's not really a captain's license.
No, it's
just an OUPV.
Old worthless bait but, fishing gad.
Yeah, it's a leap of faith hiring one of those guys too.
Yeah,
but it's getting better. I think a lot of these young men now are really trying to do.
Yeah, but how
right
many
way.
How many of these guys that get their OUPV? How many of them you think really have the required hours of operation on the water that it's required?
Very few.
That's a lot of sea time.
That's a lot of sea time. It really is. And, I mean, I've got it now. And when I first started, I had it. I had run my boats and my dad's boats and offshore and all the requirements. I met everything. I mean, didn't remember in the dates and all that. That was difficult, but I had the experience. Had been out there and out there and out there lots of hours over years of time. But at first, I don't think I had it, you know, way back there before I even got the license. I didn't get that license till I was 50 years old.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't even know you had to have that when I first started gadding back then. I mean, nobody required it, and then we had some new gads get into the business 20 years later and then started turning all of us in for not having them, so we had to go get them. I guess they figured they could run us off, but no, that
ain't not happening.
No, I just went and got mine, got it over with, and said, quit turning me in. What a rat. Rats.
That is a bad, that's a bad thing.
Kind of reminds you of politics, trying to eliminate your competition, man.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
gosh.
That's going on right now.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot going on. I just got a text from another listener, Kevin. He said that, speaking of regulations, did you hear that BASS is eliminating forward-facing sonar? I hadn't heard that one yet.
I hadn't heard that one.
I need to keep my ear to the ground on that one.
Yeah,
there's been a lot
curious.
Of controversy over that, and, you know, well, we knew it was going to come to something. I mean, everybody can't be pleased. The new young guys are gurus at it, and the old timers, I'm sure they're not happy with it. And because it is hard, you know, just face it, our generations are electronically challenged. Think about it, we really are.
That's funny.
I can read sonar and all that stuff, but I wouldn't want to have to fish like that, especially against competition of guys that are just, you know, that. It's a different kind of fishing skill. It's not the skills we've used our entire careers, you know, of finding fish, locating fish, and all that. This does make it a lot easier.
Well, that Toledo Bend tournament,
of fish.
That Toledo Bend tournament in February this past year, when the top 10 all had. They were all doing the same thing with forward-facing sonar. They were on the fish were on winter pattern, and they were following shad schools out in the open. Mm-hmm. And you know, you just had to go out there and look at that doggone screen and find your fish that way. And
right.
It was very effective what they were doing. It's not always that effective. But in that particular situation, I mean, good grief. When you had every one of the top 10 all doing the same thing with the same type of lures, that pretty well told the story right there.
Yep, it does. It tells a story.
Yeah. And, you know, you don't hear so much about it right now. But, you know, you watch that MLF fishing, and those guys will say, I'm seeing a couple of fish right up here, and we'll cast to them and this and that, but they're not watching that screen as much as they would under, you know, like the winter situations and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, exactly.
They're targeting structure and, you know.
Right.
They're using that in combination with their other skills. And so I don't see where the beef is, really. If I was going to fish tournament, I'd have to have one mounted on my trolling motor.
Well, when in Rome, do as they do, man. I mean, that's the name of the game. That's the new thing. You better adapt to it or get out. Go home.
If you can't let them, join them.
That's it.
You know?
If you can't beat them, join them. That's right. All right, buddy. I got to run, Bill. If somebody wants to call you about coming over and fishing with you, give them some info, bud.
409-673-9211.
Or fishingbeanlake.com.
As they say, this too shall pass, and those fish will show up again, and I'll find them.
That's it. Better days ahead, believe me.
Oh, yeah.
All right, man. See you,
take
Bill.
Care, man.
Later. You know, folks, if you need pipe or valves, fittings, instrumentation, fasteners, or gaskets fast, look no farther than Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. They're your one-stop shop for all your petrochemical supply needs with a full fleet of delivery trucks and same-day delivery. There's no need to wait weeks for other distributors. Let Allied deliver today. Looking for that hard-to-find item or can't wait on long deliveries? Their sales team has over 100 years of combined experience. They're here to support you from start to finish, whether it's 24/7 maintenance project or ground-up construction. Remember, Allied will be there for you, and that's exactly what they do. Call Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. Let us handle it all. 281-332-6224 or sales at alliedinc.com. That's 281-332-6224 or email at sales at alliedinc.com.
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up, and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go down.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, 441 here in the Bayou City. Let's go check in with a fish dude, Richard Tosh, up on Lake Conroe. Good morning, Richard. What's up?
Not a lot, Mickey. How you doing this morning?
Oh, man, I can't complain. Just tired of tired of all this rain.
I heard that. Y'all getting it down there. We're not getting much up here, but I just got back from Lano yesterday. So after I finished fishing Saturday, I ran over there to get everything ready, you know, do some grass cutting, field plowing, planting oats and all that good stuff. And, man, I'll tell you what. They have got some rain over there now. I mean, it was.
Yeah, I mean, there's been rain all over the state all week. It's amazing how much all this Gulf moisture is just circling all through the state and coming back around, and it's nuts.
Well, over there.
Season.
Yeah, I know.
Dove
over
season.
There, though,
let it rain, baby.
Yeah, buddy. But over there, it was crazy because it was like, while I was there, you know, from Saturday all the way up until yesterday, there was right at 6 inches of rain. So it's like, good night. That's a lot for out there in Central Texas. So
yeah.
It's one of them things where I'd get something done, come in for a little bit, and here come the rain. And then I said, okay, I got to wait it out. Wait it out, and then get out there and go do some more, and then here
them oats planted where, hey, that they'll germinate. Get this rain on them.
That's what I was talking about. Yeah, I picked them oats up Tuesday morning, got them planted. Says they're going to plant it. It rained 4 inches. It's like, goodness.
Dang.
You couldn't time it no better, but, I mean, that was a lot of rain on it. Normally over there.
Sod buster, man.
I guarantee you.
Went
that's
from a fish buster to a sod buster.
There you go. But, man, I'll tell you what, it's green out there right now, so that's a good thing. I like seeing that this time of year. Saw some pretty good horns. Saw some little deer, too, so it wasn't too bad.
Good.
Got a good mix of everything. I think the best morning we counted like 35 or so, so it wasn't too bad. And it's just out there kind of riding around looking at them and all that good stuff. So, but like Saturday, you know, when I was going to try them, you know, catfish and then hybrids and stuff like that. But them dang catfish have been slow for me for some reason. I've been catching so dang many little rascals. It's crazy. And
that's kind of what's going on with trout fishing right now. A lot of little fish.
Just, man, I'll tell you what, those little suckers are just eating me alive right now. And it's like, you know, so we decided, hey, foot on it. We ain't going to go after them hybrids. We're just going to stick with these catfish. See how many we can pull out. I think we got 51 out of the bunch that we kept, you know. And then I mean, there was, like I said, we probably caught 75 little ones. It's like, good night. These things just, they won't leave us alone for nothing. And, but the water temperature's coming down, so that's the best part, you know. It was hanging around 91. Now it was down to, hadn't been back out there yet because, like I said, I just got in yesterday. But it's, I think it was 89.
Yeah, it ought to be cooling off with all this cloud cover.
88, 89 on Saturday morning. So it was, it's coming on down. And hopefully, as it comes down, those bigger ones get there. But, you know, that's what the deal is on Conroe. I think a lot of those fish have just spawned out here recently, and those little ones are showing up. And I mean, they're little ones. They're not, you know, when you catch them, they're barely big as your finger. It's like, good night.
Fingerless.
Man, that sucker, I know that sucker was hungry. And you'll pull up a few of them like that too. So I know they're just out there starting to grow. And you know, Conroe just does those catfish spawn so many times a year. You know, I think it's probably, my guess is probably three times a year is what they do. I know they'll spawn four times in captivity, but in Conroe, it's almost like a brood pen anyway, for them, because they're constantly reproducing. And when I was cleaning them the other day, I think I had, out of the 50, we had one or two that still had eggs in them. The rest of them were already done. So it's approaching the end of it, which I'm glad to see, because when they start spawning, they just do so many different weird things. They get up on those shallow flats, and there's certain times when you can catch them, other times you can't. And it's like a lot of the places that I go to try to catch them, when they're up there on those flats, if there isn't any wind blowing, they don't bite. If the wind blows just a little bit, you're good. You know, it didn't take a lot, but just a little bit of wind is what you need to get them fired up and do the right things anyway. So it's just one of those things where everything's got to be right whenever they're up there spawning and stuff like that. And I'm just not locked in on any of the bigger ones. You know, I'm talking about the 8 or 10 pounders right now. There's some of them, some days I get out there and I'll catch me, you know, a good 8 or 10 pounder anyway. And the other day we had a ton of them bigger ones coming up around us. And that's one thing about them is you'll start to see them as the bigger ones move in. They'll actually come up on the surface and start popping the top, you know, sucking stuff off the top of water. And the first place we started out over there, I mean, we pulled up and you could see those catfish coming up. There'd be two pounders coming all the way up on the surface. We're sitting in 15 foot of water and they're coming up rolling on top. And then you'd have a bigger one come up here and there. And shad just thick. I mean, they were thick everywhere, but the fish were, you know, they were up off the bottom. They weren't down on the bottom completely. And that was, you know, that's another thing about this time of year. You get that hard thermocline down there, and they'll be above it or in it. You know, they're not going to be below it for very, very long if they go down there at all.
But they're oxygen-rich waters.
Yes, sir. And they get up there, and that's where they're eating at. And if you're not in it, you're not catching them. And then if you're above it, you'll catch them too. So, you know, the bottom feeding status of a catfish is a bunch of baloney, if you ask me. Cause
it is.
They don't do it.
Well, a lot of it. It's,
yeah, I mean, they'll
catch bottom
feed.
Feeders fish for stingrays and flounder.
Aren't
always bottom feeders either. I've seen them jumping out of the water eating shad along shorelines while you're wade fishing. So
that's crazy. I mean, I love how people will just kind of misinterpret fish at times, because they, you know, once you figure out that they move up and down in that water column, and once you figure it out, you can catch the heck out of them. That's what happens a lot of times when I start catching these little ones, is if I'm catching little ones on the bottom, I can reel it up a crank or two, and on my spinning reels, every turn of that handle is about 18 inches. So if I bring it up two cranks off the bottom, I'm 3 foot up. So that's, you know, I know that they're 3 foot off the bottom, or if they're 6 foot off the bottom, I just do that. And next thing you know, boom, I'm catching bigger fish, because it's like the bigger ones are hovering up above those little guys. So,
all right, buddy, I got to run. Charlie's hanging on. I got to get to him. Give him a couple of minutes. Well, look, man, if somebody wants to call you about coming up and fishing Conroe, give him some info, Richard.
All right, Mickey, anyone get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com, or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right, Sodbuster. We'll talk to you
Saturday. Y'all
later,
have
man.
Fun.
All right.
All right.
All right. That's the Fish Dude on Conroe. Let's run over to Matagorda now. Let's check in with Captain Charlie P. See how his web feet are doing this morning. Charlie, what's up, man?
Hey, what's happening?
Oh, nothing. You drying out?
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like y'all really got it yesterday. I had to run a trip yesterday, and I thought we were going to really get it, and we didn't, you know. No, looked like from Sergeant to Galveston is where it hung.
Yeah, it just stayed along the coast. I didn't get much at my house, you know, up north of Galveston, but that's weird how these bands are working. You know how it is.
Yeah. You know, that band will come in, and if you do get a shower, it's a good one, man. It comes down.
But you know, Sunday morning, I left my house, and it had just started, just light rain, you know. And I get to the studio here, and I look at radar, and I go, oh, my goodness. Well, when I got home, it's a little after 7 that morning, I'd already received 5 inches of rain.
Yeah, I believe it.
From that one glob, it just sat there on us. You know, it just depends on where you're at, bud.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like that low pressure is sitting over there closer to y'all in Galveston, you know.
Yeah, it's just sitting there spinning, you know, northeast winds, and it's definitely tropical rain, no doubt.
Yeah. There wasn't much of a bite yesterday. That northeast wind's got the bay pretty torn up.
Does it?
But yeah. And what fish are catching around? There's a lot of little fish, a lot of little redfish.
Hearing that from everybody right now. Same way with Bill this morning, Richard on catfish. It's little fish season right now.
Yeah.
Except down south, they're still popping some pretty good fish down there on topwaters and stuff.
Yeah, they are. They are. And we had all that right here for a long time, too. So it goes around.
It does. Cycles.
You know? Yes, sir. But there's not a lot of pressure. There wasn't a lot of people fishing this whole holiday weekend. But the fishing was pretty good then. But right. We got to let this northeast wind get by, and it'll probably be good next week or whenever it clears up. So,
it's going to be nice and cool in the mornings anyway, you know, in the 60s. And then as it warms up, it'll be about 70. That's better than 84 and 85 to start the day off with, I'll tell you that.
Heck, yeah.
Nice.
Looking forward to it, man.
Be nice for that to hang on for teal season. Cool mornings while you're teal hunting.
It never happens. So it's always hot and miserable.
No, you can always bank on rain for dove season and hot weather for teal season.
And mosquitoes.
Yeah, and plenty of sand kudos.
Yes, sir. That's what's happening over here, Mick. Not a lot.
Well, your old Astros been looking bad the last couple of games against Cincinnati, man. They got our number bad.
Yeah. Would they score 9 runs in the first inning?
9 runs in the first inning. I'm just sitting there going, I can't believe I'm watching this. I can't believe this is happening.
Wow. It is what it is. They'll get on a hot streak again.
Yeah. Need to.
You know.
The Rangers, I switched over to their game after the Astros went off to think I could watch a decent ball game, and they were blowing out the Yankees.
Really?
Blowout City yesterday. I think the Cubs were beating somebody 11-0 with a no-hitter going after 7, and I think the Dodgers were getting blown out, and I mean, I'm going, what is going on? All the good teams are getting blown out tonight. That's baseball.
Yes, sir.
Strange things happen in the game of baseball.
Yes.
We're and still committing errors. Yeah, fishing too. Fishing and baseball.
Yes, sir.
And golf. All of it. All of the above.
You bet.
Well, if somebody wants to come over and hook up with you and fish, fall is coming, and people are going to start booking. How do they get a hold of you, Charlie?
Cell phone, 713-725-2401.
All right, buddy. Well, you have a good one. I'll talk to you over the weekend. See you, man.
Take care, Mickey.
Thanks, Charlie. See you now.
Yes, sir.
All right, that's Captain Charlie P. in Matagorda. It's time for a break. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.